any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake."
Yes.
"And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Jonathan have yet a son, which is lame on his feet.' And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?'
Yes.
And Ziba said unto the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar.' Mm-hmm. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth.' And he answered, 'Behold thy servant.' And David said unto him, 'Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.' And he bowed himself and said, 'What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?'" Mm-hmm. Father, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. For we know, Father God, if it hadn't been for your grace, where would we be? We didn't want your justice, Father God, because we all know we all deserve to die and go to hell. But we thank you, Father God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ, down to this world and dying on a cross for our sins. And we just want to say thank you on this Thanksgiving, 2012, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Just read that. It's just fascinating to me.
Amen.
It's worth a read. It's worth another read.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And the king said, mm-hmm. That's the first point. I only have a few points. And the king said, now, when we look at a text like this, and sometimes we can be rash and we can fly through it. But when you look at chapter 9 of Samuel, and it said, and David said, David was the king. David wasn't the president or the mayor or the pastor. He was the king. And when he said something, he didn't have to take up a vote with Congress. He didn't have to talk to Harry Reid. He didn't have to talk with Nancy Pelosi. He didn't have to call up the partner from the head of the anything.
Amen.
When David said, that was it. No one but God had the ability or the power to confront the king. So when David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake, no one said nothing.
All right.
There wasn't no CNN or Fox or any of these news organizations questioning what he did. David was the baddest man in the land. And if you don't believe it, read 1 Chronicles and you get the chance, chapter 11, verse 21 through 23, and you will read about David's mighty men. He had 30 mighty men. 30, and they were all captains. So 30 mighty men were captain, 100. So you had, David had 3,000 mighty men. Let me just tell you the exploits of just one. His name was Jehoshabeam. He was a Hatchamite. And the Bible says that he slew 300 men with one spear. Okay. And if you start reading all the mighty men, they all did stuff like that. So when you surround yourself with mighty men, now if I look to my right, I see Pastor Wilkins, and I know, and y'all know he done slew 300 men with one sword. And then over here, I got Reverend Jones, and he done slay 300 men with one sword. Guess what? What I say, go. Okay? So that's what we're dealing with here with David. He was a powerful man. But when you have this kind of power, and God said David was a man after my own heart. Yeah, God is a God of what? He's a God of love. He's a God of love. So if God said in his own words that David was a man after my own heart, then David had a heart full of love.
Right.
And David loved Jonathan. Okay? The Word of God says, and David's love for Jonathan surpassed that of a woman. And I know there's some perverted groups out there that want to take that out of context, but God is just explaining an awesome, powerful love that two men of God can have. David loved Jonathan. And let's turn to 1 Samuel 18 because we have to sort of get, I just can't say he loved him and just leave you there. 1 Samuel 18, we're not going to move around a whole lot. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul. Now, what was he talking to Saul about? Well, David, this youngster, had just walked over to Saul with the head of Goliath in his hand, that he had cut off this giant's head when Saul had been shaken in his boots. And David was done talking to him, and Saul had said, "Who are you?" Verse 58 of 17. And Saul said unto him, "Whose son art thou, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite."
Yes.
God had David's back.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Jonathan recognized it. It is important that we recognize our positions. And Jonathan recognized his position because Jonathan was destined to be king. And Jonathan knew that God had called David. Instead of puffing up and being an enemy of David, Jonathan bowed down to David as the future king of Israel. And it says in verse 18, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul." How about that?
Amen.
"And Saul took him that day and would not, and took him that day and would let him no more go home to his father's house." Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David in his garments, even to his girt, to his sword and his bow and to his girdle.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets better too. They got close. And David, like I say, Jonathan knew that David was going to be king, so he made a covenant, a contract that you would spare my family. And David loved Jonathan and never forgot that. Now watch this. Verse number 2. We're going to go right down the text today. We're going to go home and eat some turkey and ham. Mm-hmm. "And there was of the house of Saul." Now, when David said, "Is there yet any that is in the house of Saul. He didn't have to persuade nobody to go out and look. He didn't have to prod and see if he can get somebody to come to the church and do anything. They just instantly, because they loved David. The Word of God saying everything David did pleased the people. So when David said, is there anyone yet? They seen the love that he has for Jonathan. And when you have someone you love, you want to make them happy.
Right. Right.
And the people went out to search for this descendant. Look what happens here. There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. He wasn't a part of Saul's family. He was a servant of the house of Saul. Okay, he wasn't Saul's blood. Don't just misunderstand that. He worked for Saul, so he was fair. But when David went through, like I say, they didn't have debates in those days. They didn't get on TV and have a debate. We're going to have another debate and another debate. Right. And they're going to spend $1 billion on commercials. They didn't do that.
Amen.
If you wanted to be king, take it. So, if you want to be president, you want to compare that to what we do today? No, you want to be president? Who got the most ammunition? David had it all because he had God's back. And look what happens here. And they went and called him unto David. I'm in verse 2. And the king said unto him, here's David. They didn't went and found this man. And David's coming personally to see this man, Ziba. Art thou Ziba? Now this Ziba had to be just terrified. Because David wasn't traveling by himself. So this was sort of like the SWAT team showing up at Ziba's house. And he said, art thou Ziba? And Ziba's like, oh Lord, what's getting ready to happen here? And the first thing he said, thy servant is he. Immediately he recognized the authority that he was now under. And the king said, king talking here. When the king talking, he's talking with power.
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Amen. Now we got to find ourselves in this scripture somewhere. Okay. Now we're not Ziba. And we're not the king. We're going to come up with when Mephibosheth come up. That's who we are in this text, okay? We Mephibosheth. Watch this. And the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God? That's the name of our text here. The kindness of God. Now he didn't bump it up a little bit. First he wanted to show him in verse number 1, just showing kindness.
Uh-huh.
Now that he found that there is someone of the family of Saul, now he wants to show him what? The kindness of God. You do know anything about the kindness of God. If you're saved in here, you know something about the kindness of God. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the kindness of God. It is the mercy of God. It is the gratitude of God that saved us.
Amen.
Kindness. That's what that word means. Mercy. Pity. So God is looking to show David, because God loved David and God wanted to bless David. David could ask for anything he wanted to. But he remembered this contract that he had, this covenant that he had with Jonathan. Aren't you glad that God remembers the covenant that he has with us?
Well,
we're going to stand before him. One day we're going to stand before God and he's going to ask us about the covenant that we have with his son. You better make sure you have it. You better make sure you have it. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul? Any children, daughters, cousins, anybody? Now, by all rights, Ziba couldn't have been saying anything. Because he didn't know what the king was coming for. He might have said, listen, I heard there was an uprising going on. And I just want to make sure I want to wipe out the last few. That's what most kings would do. They had a responsibility to wipe out any.
Yes.
Any. No opposition. He wanted to wipe out all remnant of Saul's family.
Oh, my.
Saul wasn't like David. David wasn't like Saul. See, Saul went and Samuel come back and say, Saul, I thought God said kill everything. I hear the bleeping of the sheep. He didn't even kill the king. Saul was disobedient. David wasn't. David wasn't. He was obedient. He was obedient. And Ziba, verse number 3 again, said unto the king, Jonathan. Oh, that just melt David's heart. When he heard him say, Jonathan. I mean, that had to come from heaven for David. David, that's all David wanted to hear. He probably didn't want to hear nothing about anybody else. But when Ziba said Jonathan, when Ziba said Jonathan, he said, Jonathan had yet a son. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Think about that. Think about the love that David and Jonathan had, and David wanted to bless Jonathan's family and be true to his covenant with Jonathan. And when Ziba said, Jonathan, he just probably his whole disposition probably just changed. And I can see David just tearing up. And Jonathan had yet a son. And David said, oh God, I can show some mercy. I can show some grace. I can show some love. Now Ziba's a character. Now, if you keep on reading and Samuel, you'll find out that Ziba will end up becoming a bad guy and lying on Mephibosheth. But
right now,
Ziba's in a fix. He says, and Jonathan have yet a son, which is no threat at all to your kingdom. Y'all don't read that in there. He said, which is lame on his feet. He's good for nothing. He's useless. He is no good. He can't work. He just lay on the side of the road. We got to carry him all around. He is just miserable. He is despicable. I mean, looked like Ziba was trying to either to protect him or basically said, you're wasting time with this guy. But that ain't how grace and mercy work. How many of y'all know that ain't how grace and mercy work? Grace and mercy don't work like that. David didn't care about him being lame. David didn't care about him being useless. Jake don't care about that. See, the worst situation, the worse you are off, the more grace can work in your life. See, we just want to bless somebody that can bless us back. Grace don't operate like that. Grace don't care. You know, David didn't say, well, is he smart like Solomon? Is he handsome like Absalom? Is he politically correct? Like a Benedict? He didn't care. He didn't care. See, we our grace work like that. You know, we do foster care and children's services. Pastor Wilkins is involved with children's services, and they got a whole list of stuff. What kind of kids you want? Okay? Well, check. We don't, you know, grace don't operate like that. Grace, I ain't checking none of them boxes. I'll take whatever. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan had yet a son. How about that? A son. Which is lame on his feet. David just found a son. And the king said unto him, now I try to exaggerate this. I can't imagine how David responded to this, but I'm of this persuasion that he probably was absolutely elated.
Yes.
And when he says in verse 4, and the king said unto him, I believe David just cried out with just love and compassion, where is he?
Yes. Yes.
And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emiel, in Lodibar. Now, by all rights, Ziba just snitched out Jonathan. Jonathan was in hiding. Jonathan understood. Jonathan didn't know nothing about, Mephibosheth didn't know nothing about Jonathan and David's relationship. He was in hiding. He was in Lodibar. Pastor-less. And I don't mean pastor like me, but pasture list. There was nothing there in Lodabar. It was a desert place.
Yes.
Somebody say, you get no signal in Lodabar. Some folks, they take your cell phone somewhere and you say, well, I must be in Lodabar. No signal in Lodabar. You don't want nobody to find you when you in Lodabar. He was in hiding and Zebra just snitched him out. That's what J. Vernon McGee said. I like J. Vernon McGee. He said in his own country way, he said, Zebra snitched him out. Listen at verse 5. We're moving pretty quick today. And the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker. Now listen. We was fetched out, brothers and sisters. You know, we talk about grace. Here's a grace here. It's called fetching grace. Fetching grace. This is the kind of grace that, you know, when you went to the country world, you got a dog and you throw that stick. And if you got a good dog, that dog ain't coming back without that stick. Okay, I don't care where you throw it, you throw it in the water. Yeah, fetch it. That's what it is. That dog ain't coming back till he come back with that stick. And this is what David, remember again, this, the word of God says itself. Look at verse 5. Then King David.
Yes.
See? Now in one, he was just in David. Now he's putting all his kingly power behind this. I need this, brother. Okay? He put an all points bulletin out, a search warrant out for Mephibosheth. And it says in verse 5, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amir, from Lodabar. And I'm pretty sure, again, they showed up. When these brothers showed up, I guarantee you, everybody in the house was just trembling. This was not the average knock on the door. Watch this. I know I'm saying that a lot. Watch this. I just think this is fascinating. Now when Mephibosheth, you know what Mephibosheth means? Y'all know what the name of that means? Shameful. You know, we talk about Mephibosheth being lame at his feet. You know, I'll take you back to the text. But when Jonathan and Saul got killed, that meant anybody could take over the kingdom now. And so Mephibosheth was 5 years old, approximately 5 years old. And his nurse grabbed him. They was on the run. And either she fell or dropped him.
Okay.
But back then, he broke his legs. But see, back then, they couldn't just run him to the hospital and set them all up. You break your leg back then, guess what? You was crippled.
Yeah.
Okay? You was crippled. And Mephibosheth was crippled. Now, maybe a cart ran over. Maybe they just stomped him. Folks was moving. This was an uprising. And a five-year-old fall, he probably got stomped. And the nurse hung in there with him and at least got him for this day. So that's how Mephibosheth got hurt. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, I'm in verse number 6, was come unto David. How about that? They fetched him out. Now they bringing this man to the palace. Oh my goodness. Bringing Mephibosheth to the palace. They didn't have wheelchairs. They had him on a little cart. Maybe on a rug. We better talk about how they dropped the man down to the roof. Probably had him on a cart. And I'm pretty sure David said handle it with care.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would have done like you know, we would have done if it was a criminal and just throw him on like out of a wheelbarrow. They probably laid him down gently. And imagine this man whose name means shameful. It just means I'm just useless. You know, and this is, when you get a name like that, it's because you have skills and you have gifts and you can't use them. Mm-hmm. I was saying that to Reverend Jones this morning. I said, I got a deacon. Mm-hmm. It's fighting for every breath.
Yes, yes.
Not to get up so he can go watch the Detroit Lions play today, or he just want to come back to the house of God.
Amen.
And to get on his post and to lead devotion and pray and just hug y'all. That's the only reason he don't want to get out of that hospital bed just to go back to Mountaineer Park or somewhere.
Right.
He didn't want to get back in line and get back in his place. And we got healthy folks. Loaded with gifts and skills and talents, can sing, can do all kind of things. Here's Mephibosheth, son of a king, crippled. That's a tragedy. And he says, verse number 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, how about that? The son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. He fell on his face. He fell on his face and did reverence. The word reverence means fear. Fear came over him. He knew what he was there for. Like I said, right. Jonathan didn't know. He didn't know David. I mean, Mephibosheth didn't know David and Jonathan's relationship. And he was reverent. That word reverence means fear. That's why they call us reverence. There was a time that we struck fear, folks. We come walking in the building, us three walking in the building, three reverends. Folks just, you know, like the Red Sea. Used to be like that.
Used to be.
Oh, that's not sorry. Watch this. It was said, and he answered, verse number 6, "Behold, thy servant," with exclamation mark behind it. Mm-hmm. He knew where he was at. And David ran everything, and he knew David had the right to cut his head off right on the spot.
Yes.
And that's what he was waiting for. Again, Mephibosheth didn't know what was going on. And David could have cut his head off right there. What's this? What's the kindness that David shows? Here we go. In verse number 7, "And David said unto him," how about that? "And David said unto him, fear not." Now, by this time, Mephibosheth probably urinated all over himself. And he's just sitting there, a mess, just stinking and dirty. And and David is saying unto him, "Fear not." Doesn't have to be the most beautiful words there is. And God still says that today. He says that to his saints. Okay? Yeah, none of fear. I say it when I go up to the hospital and see Chester. I say it to all the saints. You don't have nothing. We have to fear. Jesus died. That took the sting out of death. I mean, all the world fears dying. But for the child of God, God can say to us, fear not.
Yeah.
But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got something to fear.
Amen.
You got something to fear. God's not going to say fear not to you if you don't know the Lord.
Right.
He's going to say he's a fearful God. David says unto Jonathan, "Fear not. I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake." How about that? How about that? He said, "I'm not showing you kindness for nothing you've done or nothing you didn't do." And this is a picture of grace. To the believers, you have to see grace. Because, see, so many folks there, you got to work to get your salvation. You got to do this. You got to do that. Listen, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. And not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Because if we had to do something for our salvation, first of all, how do we ever know when we've done enough? And how do we know we're doing what's right?
Amen.
Especially when we would be taking credit for it. Penance and acts, doing this. I've done this and I've done that. I watch all these churches and I watch all these secular, worldly motorcycle clubs and strip bars and they making picnic Thanksgiving Day baskets. You need to know the Lord.
Absolutely.
If you don't, you got something to fear.
Amen.
David trapped this man down. David went and looked for him because this was a picture of God here. And I want you to see this. Son of Man, Luke 19:10 said, the Son of Man came to seek and save those that were lost. He didn't come to seek and save those that think they got it all together. He said, healthy man don't need a physician. And I said, you ain't going to the doctor just to give him a $20 copay and say, I feel good. I'm going to come in here and give you $20, let you know I'm feeling good. Don't work like that. Don't work like that. Watch this. Watch the promises that David gives this man. And these are the same promises that God gives us this very day. He tells us to fear not. Fear not. He says, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. You can substitute Jesus in there. God is showing us kindness. Those of us who know the Lord, God is showing us kindness, and that's a promise. The very fact that you are able to come to the house of God and give Him praise, He's showing you kindness. And if you was to drop dead today, any one of us, God would still be a kind God. He would have still been good to you. Because like I said at the hospital the other day, I'm walking around that hospital, and I've been in hospitals a whole lot the last couple of months. And I said, we're not among the living. I'm just glad to be among the living. You're not among the living. Look around. Everything dying. You are among the dying. And when you die and go to heaven and be in glory, then and only then, you'll be all among the living. Right now you're among the dying. You don't believe me? Go to Liberty School. 16-year-old girl just dropped dead. Boy on the south side, shot in the head. Last Sunday morning, downtown Warren, a block from the church. They just shooting up, killing folks on Sunday morning. You're among the dying. The dying. You're not among the living. There was a time even the mafia wouldn't kill on Sunday.
All right.
I mean, the Naples and all them there. I mean, they'd be in church. You could start your car up on Sunday. They ain't killing on Sunday morning. Why church in session? Oh. Let's wrap it up. You see the first thing, he shows kindness. He said, I'm going to show you kindness. Not because you've done anything, okay? Not because you've done anything. Not because you haven't done anything. But because of my relationship, my love for thy father. David would write this later on in a song. He would write this later on in Psalm 37:25. He'd say, I've been young, but now I'm old, and I've never, never, never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Some of us we can get our kids in a whole lot of trouble by not being right. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And some of you in here that's older, you can go through your Rolodex or you can scroll down your phone or look through your old files, your yearbook. Listen, you will never find a righteous person that has ever suffered and gone without bread.
Amen.
See, how can you say that? People are struggling all over the world. No, that ain't what I said. The Bible says I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. David wrote it. God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
If you're struggling because you have some unrighteous folks, then get yourself right. And the folks that come behind you won't struggle. David said it. He said, I'll show you mercy and kindness for thy father's sake. Happy Thanksgiving, boy. And we'll restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father. How about that? Gave this man all the land that his father had. That was a great kingdom David gave him. That was a great kingdom that David gave him. But let's look at it from this point of view. God sent his son Jesus Christ down to this earth to restore us unto him. And by him dying and us receiving him as Lord and Savior, guess what? We receive a great kingdom too. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. Paul preached the kingdom of God. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. And the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? That's what we're talking about here. David is saying, I'm going to restore you. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to restore you. It's all about restoration. He came to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will what? Have everlasting life. Will have an everlasting kingdom to go to. That's the whole sense or the doctrine of restoration. God came to restore us because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. And just like Mephibosheth who fell, it says, well, by one man. One man fall. We fell. We fell also. And just like Mephibosheth needed a Savior, we need one. We need a Savior. This Thanksgiving, we need a Savior.
Amen.
He not only said, I'm going to restore you. I like this last one. His three promises in here. He said, I'm only going to restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. Oh, come on now. David wrote Psalm 23. Y'all need to return. Y'all have to turn to it. I wish Deacon Nels was here. But he said, you will eat at my table continually.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. See, when you're sitting at a table and you put a tablecloth up, you can't see Mephibosheth's legs. He was just one of the sons. He was just one of the sons. And he was sitting there. I can see him sitting there now. And Solomon's so smart. Absalom's so handsome. And I can see him sitting at the table. You looking good today. Sitting at the table. And David said, listen. You're one of my sons. And God will restore us. He will be kind to us. He will restore us. And we will sit at his table.
Yeah.
And look at the humility of Mephibosheth. Once he really understood what was going on. This is just, we look at this verse, but this is just a beautiful picture of the humility of the believer. Of the believer. You see, we have to be humble. We have to be humble because what God did for us, we know we didn't deserve. We know we didn't do nothing to earn it. And there's no reason for us to look down on anyone. I came into the block today and we got a new inmate right off death row. There's some crazy stuff, but they took him off death row and put him in my block. I think I got all three of them that came off death row. And the officer's sitting there. I ain't going to name their names. They could be on the World Wide Web. But wasn't good officers. And they say, oh, it's hard to deal. You got this dude in your block now. You read his files. I said, I'm not reading his files. I don't want to know what he done because I don't want him reading my files. Okay? Because I understand if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's not a crime I couldn't do. There's not anything I couldn't do. If it had not been for the grace of God. And like I said before, the bigger the sinner, oh, God's grace will cover. Oh, Jeffrey Dahmer can't go to heaven. Nobody can go to heaven. If Son of Sam can't go to heaven, nobody can go to heaven. Oh, I just don't believe. He calls himself a Christian now. He thinks he's going to heaven. Listen, bro. If he can't go, I can't go. Oh, that's hard for some folks. That's hard for some folks. Yeah. Okay, it's hard, but it's fair. Now listen. As I close. Verse number 8. Understand this. Watch Mephibosheth's response to all this grace. And this ought to be our response. And he bowed himself. and said, "What is thy servant? What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" That's how God found us. We read it in 1 Peter, and we talk about 1 Peter 1:9. It says, and God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We was in a mess. We was lame physically, spiritually. Satan has dropped us on our heads. He's run over us. And we are a mess. We were in a messy condition, and some folks still is. But we got the power to go out into this lost world. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And tell him what He's done for you. Don't be ashamed of your testimony. You was a dead, stinking dog. That's all you were. You weren't all, God ain't wait for you to get all cleaned up to come and for Him to call you. You was in a mess. And if you don't know the Lord, you're still in a mess. But God is greater than the mess. He's greater than the mess. And He's waiting. And He's going to come. And Mephibosheth could have spit on them soldiers and said, "I don't want your grace, God. I don't want to be blessed. I'm not going to the king's palace. You can kill me right here." But God is good.
Amen.
Not sometimes. But all the times. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank You this morning. On Thanksgiving, we thank You for the kindness of God. Not only toward Mephibosheth, but toward us. For we were lame. We were spiritually crippled. We was dead in our trespasses and sins. But You quickened us. You made us alive in Christ. And now we can say, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we just want to say thank You.
Thank You.
On this Thanksgiving, Father God, we thank You for our families. Of course we do. I thank You for my wife. I thank You for my home. I thank You that I had water running this morning. I thank You for all that.
Thank You, Jesus.
But most of all, Father God, I just want to give honor to You for not only being the head of my life, but being the Lord of my life.
Yeah.
For being the power that's in me. And like Paul said, as he was heading to Rome, he said, "I am bound in spirit." Oh, I just ask right now, Father God, that You would just give some lost soul, some brother or sister that may be under the sound of my voice today, either here in this church or in radio land, give them some power. Let them say like Paul in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for them that believe, to the Jew first and the Greek." It's for everybody. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for everything. You're good and You're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.